Good morning and welcome to the Outdoor Show. This edition of the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville, Weston Brick Mower, Powderhorn Guns and Archery, My Firearms ETS, and Holland's Original Gun and Knife Show. That's February 15th, 2014, from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Holland Civic Center. That's next week. You're listening to the Outdoor Show right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown outdoor station. We are pre-recorded this morning, so hold your calls until next week. I'm Tom Mettendorp, and I'm here with Rob Venner from the DeGraff Nature Center right here in the heart of Holland. How are you this morning, Rob?
Well, great.
Excellent. It's not really morning because we're pre-recorded.
Yeah.
It's the afternoon.
It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day right now. I wonder what it's going to be like while we're talking for our recorded part. What do you think of all this snow?
This is an unrelenting winter. I think we're all feeling that. But it's the first real winter I think a lot of us can remember in a long time where we really...
I got my high school students. They don't remember a real winter.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting a real winter right mm-hmm. now. But we've seen these winters before.
Yeah, I'm from Kalamazoo, and uh-huh. I remember the National Guard having to come out to open roads at one time.
Yeah.
So I do remember, real winters. And I know this is difficult, but we're all getting in better shape.
This is true. I've been doing a lot of shoveling.
A lot of shoveling and snow blowing and snowshoeing and cross-country skiing and getting out there. So
snowshoeing, my favorite.
Yeah,
favorite over the cross-country skiing. Not that I don't like cross-country skiing. I just like the snowshoeing because you can kind of blaze a different trail.
Yeah, snowshoeing is a lot of fun. When it's actually a winter like this, you really need snowshoes. Sometimes out there and it's just packed snow and you're kind of just walking along and you have grippers and it makes it nicer to walk. But at our nature center right now, people will say, oh, I don't need snowshoes. I'll head out on the trails. About 2 minutes later, they're back at the building saying, I think I will take those pair of snowshoes.
I'll take those.
Because it's like 2 feet or more, and you can't walk.
I was going to say, you step in there and it's up to your knees. You put your snowshoes on, now you're 2 foot above the ground. You're trying to walk.
And it's a neat feeling, too. Once you've done it, it gives you freedom. You don't have to stay on trails, particularly through this kind of snow depth. You can explore.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really
a lot of fun.
It is.
You know that my family, we all have snowshoes, and we like to go snowshoeing, and we like to go to different places. And I really want to encourage the listeners, for anybody who's never been snowshoeing and you're living in Holland here, go to the DeGraff Nature Center and get some snowshoes. And
we're one of many places, the Outdoor Discovery Center, I think, and Hemlock Crossing, Pigeon Creek, DeGraff. We all have snowshoes that are there. We charge a small fee, a couple of dollars, for as long as you want to use them on the ground. So it's not a lot. But, we want people to go for a walk.
Well, and $2.
It's not
everybody
a big deal.
$2.
And it's just a maintenance fee because we got to varnish them and take care of them. But they were donated, the snowshoes that we have, by people, and we laced them ourselves as a staff years ago. And so they're a good Chippewa, Ojibwa, Native American-style snowshoes.
Some people don't know Chippewa, Ojibwe. Same tribe.
Same tribe, yeah. Some people only know Chippewa.
Actually, same nation, I should say.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
And those are the really cool snowshoes because the Ojibwe tribes were in the furthest north areas.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think of snowshoes, you think of a rounded toe and you think of the tail coming off from it. But with the Ojibwe shoes, there's a tail both ways.
Mm-hmm.
The front tail is curved up.
Right. It goes up and more pointed at the front.
Yep.
So, we get thawing, like maybe today, where we see sunshine on the snow, you're going to get I don't know if we will today, but if you get a layer that's thawed and then refreezes, that's a real pain if you have a rounded snowshoe on the front because it'll go down through that crust and then you trip up.
Because it catches that crust coming back up.
So the Ojibwa, they knew this pointy thing in the front was a good idea. Break right through the crust, bring it back on top as you walked.
Yeah.
And so that's...
A lot easier for blazing trails.
Oh, yeah.
A lot easier for blazing trails. Did you build them again this year?
Our class did not get enough enrollment this last fall.
But
we're going to offer it next fall. And we've had several people, sorry they missed it kind of thing. I think a lot of people
got a lot of snow now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I could have my own snowshoes. So I think we'll have a good class next. I usually do it three Saturdays leading up to Thanksgiving, and so people can get them done.
Three Saturdays prior to, so during November.
Right, and then time to varnish them and get them ready to go in December because we often get good snow in December. So,
Yeah, that's true. You know, last year we didn't have much snow at all.
Right. I think a lot of people were thinking, I'm not going to go through the trouble this year. Bad call. You know?
But when you have such a cold fall, you got to expect something's going to change.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you looked at the woolly worm this year, I know that's a fallacy.
Yeah, I know. It's
but
just
it was kind of neat because I looked at all the woolly worms, and none of them were colored differently. They were all colored black tip on both ends for cold, and then brown in the middle. And that middle brown part was longer than what I normally see.
Mm.
It fit right into this if the spring is cold.
And the farmer's almanac was correct too, right?
Probably not.
Yeah, it's fun to kind of, you know,
now that's
project.
One that I can, that's one that I can admit.
Yeah.
That's a fun one,
yeah.
to look at and know that it's not right. But checking the temperature by crickets.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. You can do that in the summertime.
Well,
yeah.
Everybody laughs at me about that. That's true. I've tested it.
That's actually a true one, yeah, yeah. Well, there's some truth to the groundhog coming out this time of year.
Uh-huh.
Because they, in their normal cycle of their, they've been in hibernation, they wake up periodically, even in their den, to relieve themselves, basically. And then, but right about now, early February, they actually come out.
Yep.
And will look for neighboring burrows of females and other, you know, where everybody is. They don't do much, but check out the neighborhood, and then they go back to bed. So this is a kind of a traditional time where some of these groundhogs appear. So that's how they started the see a shadow thing, you know. And
so they didn't have to train Punxsutawney Phil.
Well, that one's kind of contrived. He's all pulled out of his thing. But they naturally will come out of the ground this time of the year, even though it's not really spring yet.
So what is it? If he sees his shadow,
then you have an early spring.
So
there's no shadow this
year. If
he
sees his shadow, 6 weeks until spring. If he doesn't see his shadow, we have 6 more weeks of winter.
More weeks of winter, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we're pretty sure we're going to have 6 more weeks of snow.
Definitely, definitely. There's a lot of things going on over at the DeGraff Nature Center. We've got the torchlit trails, the sugar on the snow, maple sugar time, waterfowl watch, helping hands coming up. Woodcock walk, Michigan turtles, all these things are coming all this spring.
Right.
And, you know, we don't have much time before we go into a break, but I'm kind of wondering, come April, we have Shawnee National Forest, Land Between the Rivers, Giant City, Garden of the Gods, Rim Rock, and Cave in the Rock State Parks. I don't know what that program is. I recognize all the other ones.
That's a tour. We're going to load up a van, and we're going to escape the winter weather probably still by then, and we're going to go down to find spring at the tip of Illinois, where the Ohio River and the Mississippi come together.
Okay.
There's a whole array of reserves, national forests, state parks, and we're going to stay there at not slipping in my mind. The Giant City State Park.
Giant City.
Cabins there we already got reserved. And we'll head down there and we'll all be in cabins. And we're going to explore every day in that area. And go along the Ohio River and a couple days. And we'll go along the Mississippi for other days and explore for a lot of migrating waterfowl, a lot of birds, a lot of wildflowers starting to bloom down there. So it'll be like, go down and find the red buds in bloom. And it'll be about 6 weeks jump into spring, ahead of what we have here.
Oh, because you're headed south.
Heading south.
And what's happening there.
Yep, so we'll go find spring.
That'll be good. It's the middle of April, which should be really nice weather.
Yeah, we're planning on it. We got it scheduled. It's going to be nice weather.
Well,
you never know for sure. I had a color tour. We went down to Starved Rock State Park in Illinois, and prime time for color, third week of October, and it was snowing this year.
Oh, no.
And it was beautiful. But a good thing everybody dressed for much colder than normal weather, because that's kind of how it's been.
Yeah, that's true. The cold weather.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about the cold weather and the programs going on at the DeGraff Nature Center in just a little bit. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Westonbrook Mower, where they service what they sell. All units are ready to use when they leave the store, and Westonbrook submits your warranty information so you don't have to. Stop into the Holland or the Genesis store, check them out on your computer at westonbrookmower.com, or call them at 616-396-5733. We're pre-recorded today, so hold your calls until next week. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, educating people in the safe and responsible use of firearms since 2001, and Holland's Original Gun and Knife Show. Holland's Original Gun and Knife Show will be Saturday, February 15th. That's just next week already. And it'll be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Holland Civic Center. It's an opportunity for sportsmen and sportswomen of the West Michigan area to network. They can buy, sell, and trade their hunting, fishing, shooting, and outdoor equipment with other like-minded folks. This is the 26th year. There's over 108 display tables of outdoor merchandise for sale from dealers and private collectors. Tell you what, I've seen some amazingly good deals there every single year. It's at the Holland Civic Center from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on February 15th, 2014. I'm going to be there. I hope to see you there. Remember, if you don't support community activities like this, they might disappear. Anyhow, I'm Tom Meddendorp, and I'm here with Rob Venner from the Outdoor from the DeGraff Nature Center right here in the heart of Holland. And that's for anybody who missed the beginning of the show. You can catch it at WHTC.com. Pick up our podcast, or if you know somebody who lives out of the area and doesn't pick up the 1450 radio station on their radio, then they can go to WHTC.com and click on the button to listen live. And they can hear us talk all about stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Cold weather is where we left off. And it's been extremely cold this year, where we've had multiple days below freezing.
Yeah, below zero even.
Yeah.
Some of them at my home, yeah. Well, you know, I had a lot of school kids out at our nature center today, and our topic was winter ecology.
Remember that we're pre-recorded. When he says today,
that's right.
We recorded
during the week, school kids. But the topic is winter ecology, and this when you have layers of snow like we have, there's a layer at the very bottom of the snow. Inuit's called it the Pukuk.
The Pukuk.
And that's it's a layer where the Earth's heat is coming up. The snow over the top is an insulating layer, and it actually thaws at the bottom of the snow. Where the earth
right in between Earth and the snow.
Exactly. And right now, late January, where we're recording this, rodents, like little deer mice, are starting to have their families down there.
Oh, right at that location.
Yes. It's warm enough. It could be like thawing down there. Water, seeds to eat, and their little trails run around down there.
Yeah.
And so they're starting to have their families. Well, that's a significant thing, because what needs mice for food? All kinds of stuff. And they tunnel up through the snow to get a little air into their system.
Yep.
It gets too suffocating down there.
Right.
And they come out a little brown mouse on top of white snow.
And they leave a nice little track.
Little trails all over, and that's what the owls are waiting for. The foxes can hear them down there, and they pounce into the snow,
uh-huh.
which is a really cool thing. Coyotes, of course. Lots of things eat mice. So this winter actually has been very good for the whole animals and their food chain, you could say.
Oh, yeah.
So the snow provides a good insulating place to live.
I have a nice big female red tail.
Oh, yeah.
That hangs out by my house.
Yeah.
And I watch her float over the field waiting for those mice to come up.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as they come up, down she goes.
Yeah.
She gets them.
Yep.
That's how she gets her food.
Well, and there's things like the weasels, and they're long, skinny animals. They're designed to go down those little holes that the rodents make.
Oh, yeah.
They're like their whole body's like a foot-long hot dog, you know?
Right,
and
right.
And it just goes right down there. And so it's a really amazing world to kind of get into.
What about fox getting a hold of those?
A hold of a weasel?
No, getting a hold of the mice.
Oh, yeah. I've
seen them, like, going along the top, and they mm-hmm. can, like, hear them.
They do. They hear them, and they actually do this leap into the air quite high,
and
they pounce into the snow with all 4 feet and their nose in one spot. Just
boom, they bust through the snow.
Busting down and try to get to that Pukuk. And they hear the mice down there, and they grab them. There's some great videos on that nature show I've seen on Yellowstone in winter. You know, there was one segment of the red fox pouncing in the snow I saw last December.
So, I think I saw the same one, and then they showed how the coyotes came in and the fox left.
Oh, yeah.
Then they showed how the wolves came in
yeah.
and the coyotes
There's a definite hierarchy. The wolves would kill their kindred, the dog family.
Uh-huh.
They hung around. So when the wolves come in, they're the top dogs.
Everybody
yeah.
said, see ya.
Yeah. But the wolves will make kills, and then, of course, all these other guys will come in and pick off the remainders if they can.
And they showed that on that show.
Mm-hmm.
They showed how
sure.
the wolves were done, and then I think it was a coyote that came in mm-hmm. that was picking at it,
and along with ravens and other things. So.
Yep.
Yep.
I love watching those shows, but I'm an antenna guy, so I watch it on PBS.
Exactly.
Anyhow, February 15th, that's next week. I told you that's the Holland Gun and Knife Show. That's from 9 to 3. But then from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, the torchlit trails are at DeGraff.
That's right. We're going to have our – we did it already once earlier in the month. We're going to have tiki torches that are lit throughout our trails. And so you just get a pair of snowshoes from us and follow the torches through the woods.
And if you have your own snowshoes, you can
come
with your
own,
right?
Certainly, yeah. We charge $3 a head, and it includes a cup of hot cocoa at the end. You come in the building and warm up. And so you can rent snowshoes and have a cocoa.
And are you going to be there to tell stories?
Well, we might be telling some stories. You know, it's a lot of people come out, so people just get out there and have a good time.
Then they socialize and have the hot cocoa.
Yeah, exactly.
And they head on out.
A lot of families with kids are there. We did it once, and it's a lot of fun time.
Are there a couple of loops that you can take, or how long does it usually take for somebody to do the walk?
Depends on how big a hurry you're in, but one family came off the trails. They had so much fun. They were out there about, I think, half an hour to do the loop, and they just said, we want to go again. They just went out again and went around the same loop twice.
Okay.
Because we go out into the woodland loop and then down across what they call it the old interurban, which is this old train right away through there, and then we hit the creek, and they follow the creek wandering back to the building.
There's remnants of where the interurban ran through?
Yep, the old the land form is there, where the track was.
Where the grade was.
Where the grade, yeah.
Sweet.
So you walk the interurban and then head down the creek, and or up the creek, I should say, back to our, by the ponds frozen now, and then up to the building. And
well, if you want to head east, I can show you right where the interurban ran along the Byron and where it took off from Byron Road and headed towards GR.
From us it went out to the beach, essentially.
I was going to say, it went along down and towards the Saugatuck.
Yeah, from there, it actually went out to a resort on the south side of the piers now, where there's homes now there.
Yep.
That all burned down, I believe. But then they went from there down to Saugatuck. So, yeah, the old interurban ran all over. And people, this is the era before cars.
Yes.
You know, so when the automobile came along, they kind of all faded away.
Right.
But we're a little remnant runs through our nature center.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to know about the interurban, it's the interurban, and I think you could probably find stuff on the web.
Mm-hmm.
But there's books at the library and so on.
Yeah.
And it's it ran Grand Rapids down to Holland along the lakeshore and right down to Chicago.
Yeah, I think so. I don't really know the whole history. It was a small scale train. It wasn't a full size. But it was how you could travel in those days. You know, pretty neat way to do it. I really wish we still had that, you know, with price of gas, you know what I mean? Like downtown, you know. Now we have the Max and all that, but it'd be kind of a neat thing.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. We just don't have it anymore.
No, it's gone.
And a lot of our nature has disappeared, too.
Yeah, that where our nature center is now, it used to be a lot of orchards and farms and chicken farms and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we'll talk more about that coming up. The Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville has what you need. They've got you covered for all your hunting needs. Stop into the Farmers Co-op at 3302 Prospect Street in Hudsonville. For a complete list of products and services, check them out online at fcelevator.com. We are pre-recorded today, so hold your calls until next week. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. For all your arrow-knocking, gun-cocking, fish-hooking, flag-waving, stand-up-and-sing, God bless America hunting and fishing needs. I'm here with Rob Venner, and if you want to pick up on some of the beginning that you missed, you can go to whtc.com, pick it up under the podcast. It's under Media, Podcasts, The Outdoor Show. And it's right there, ready for you to listen to. Of course, you can't listen to it right at 8 o'clock. You got to give Chris a little bit of time to put it on the website. And we're talking about everything to do with the DeGraff Nature Center this morning. Of course, we're throwing in the cold weather and the snow and things of that nature. Don't forget, next weekend, we've got the Holland Gun and Knife Show from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., but then we've also got the Torchlit Trails at the DeGraff Nature Center from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. That $3, you get some snowshoes. You get time to walk through the trails with the torchlit trail. And then you can get back to the, what do we call it? I want to say clubhouse.
Nature Center.
The Nature Center. I want to say clubhouse because of, you know, Sportsman's Club.
Yeah,
it's
a
clubhouse all the time. You get back to the Nature Center, and there'll be a hot cup of cocoa for you there. And that's all included in your $3 torchlit walk.
Right. It's a fun time. Bring out the family.
Yeah.
We have snowshoes for kids that are preschool. You know, 3 and 4 year olds can handle it.
Well, Tim says he's going to come, so we'll see if 3 and 4 year olds can
handle it. Okay. All right. Yeah.
I got to get one in when he's not here, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyhow, That's on the 15th. And then I see on March 1 says sugar on snow.
That's a fun one. I like that. You know, this goes back to the 1800s when in New England people would make maple syrup. And the kids, all this is the farm activity, all the farmers came together and helped each other out because a lot of work to gather sap, and they boil all their syrup in big kettles, you know. And but the kids, you know, this is their treat time, too. You make a candy, you boil syrup past the syrup stage until when you pour it out on snow, it forms like taffy. It's,
really?
Yeah, and it's you know, chewy. You got to have not many fillings in your mouth if you're going to eat that stuff. But we pour it out over crushed ice. Maybe we'll do it over snow. This
year, I was just going to say, we might have snow.
We still
this
have
year
snow,
do.
But many times we've thawed enough where you don't want to use that snow. It's got to be clean. But anyway, we'll pour it out over probably crushed ice just to keep it clean. Then we take popsicle sticks and you kind of roll it up, and you have a maple sugar, maple syrup.
That sounds like a lot of
candy.
Are you going to do that by the Benralti?
Well, no, we'll do that right at the Nature Center.
Just do that right at the Nature
indoors
Center?
Indoors in our auditorium, just set up tables and just, I'll talk about maple sugar and we'll do it right there.
So you've got, that'll all be boiled down already.
Yeah, well, actually, I'll be cooking it on the stove. Okay. It's right by in our kitchen there. So it'll be fresh right off the stove when we pour it out on ice. And
for people that don't understand, when you tap the trees, the maple trees, and then you get the you get the water. It's almost like water.
It's sap, and it's only at best 2% sugar. So you got to you got to remove. It's usually about a 40-to-1 ratio of water to syrup.
Yeah. So if you have 40 gallons of the water or sap that comes out of the tree, then you have to boil it down, mm-hmm. and you got 1 gallon of syrup.
Yeah, you're concentrating it till it's syrup, and it has to be. I think it's about 65% sugar when it's syrup,
and so once it's concentrated,
and that's what you want to put on your pancakes.
Yeah,
the good stuff. Yeah, all right, so that's the real stuff.
Sorry, Andrew.
Well, I was raised with that stuff, and it tastes great. But that was created because maple syrup is a little expensive. It's what really syrup used to be before.
Well, yeah, and there's a process.
Yeah,
because of that process is what makes it expensive. Isn't like Aunt Jemima, that syrup? Isn't that like a Carol syrup with flavoring?
That's corn syrup.
Or corn syrup.
Yeah, which is
corn
I won't get into that, but that's got some health issues nowadays. So
yeah,
high fructose corn syrup and all that. So we have enough of that in our diet. So I do not promote that. And maple syrup has a whole list of nutrients. Can you think about it? Sap is coming out of the root system of the tree with sugar, but also all these nutrients, micro macronutrients that help feed the tree to grow. It's its food.
Yeah.
And so maple syrup and sugar is not just sugar. There's
right.
a lot. It's actually the most nutritious sweetener we have.
Well, and also I've heard honey from your local area, maple syrup from your local area, helps to build your immune system against things that you might run into in your local area.
Yeah, I think the honey does that because there's the pollen and you've built up antibodies or whatever.
Right.
Antigen, yeah. But maple syrup is just one of those natural sweeteners. It's better, a better sweetener than any others, really.
I prefer real maple syrup. Now, you got to be careful where you get it from. I have to say this because I've had it before where people, I don't know if they're trying to just make a little extra buck off from it. They haven't boiled it far enough down.
Yeah, yeah. It can still be called syrup, and it's not thick enough. It should be 67% maybe is the number to really make it. Is what we take it to, where it's really will be thick, you know, and it'll store better too. And
once it's thicker,
you don't want to get that watery stuff. And some people have tried maple syrup and have not liked it, and that's because some places make it and they don't have such a good operation. You got to make sure you buy it from a clean evaporator. People know how to bottle it properly and store it properly.
Right.
And you know, our staff and myself, we've all taken lessons, and I go to a conference every year. This year I learned about packaging and storage, the new regulations and rules about how to do it. And so we try to make a good product at the Nature Center to sell people.
And when you sell it at the Nature Center, that helps to fund the Nature Center.
Yeah, that is actually part of our revenue to help us pay for.
Along with the calendars.
Yeah, the calendars.
You still have calendars?
We still have calendars.
Love those calendars.
If you became a member, we'll give you one. If you spend any kind of money in our store, you get a free calendar now.
So we did your fundraiser with it.
Yeah, and now we got a lot more. We still want to move out there. So come on by and we'll
excellent.
And buy some syrup. We'll give you a calendar.
Yeah.
And it's not any calendar. It's a natural events calendar.
Yeah, because it's got
tells you when everything's happening in the out-of-doors. Yeah.
I look at mine regularly to see what's happening now. What's happening now?
I learned today, I have to add to next year's calendar, now I got to remember what I was talking about. Late February. Oh, come on. Anyway, I learned a new thing on our calendar. I'm going to update it every year.
Uh-huh.
And I find new dates for when animals start to breed or when young are active and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, there's all kinds of cool events that are happening at times that I didn't realize.
Yeah, often much earlier than people think. You know, the animals
this
will start to have young and breed early before it's really spring weather.
Well, and some people think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but some people think that when the snow goes away, that's when the breeding time comes, stuff like that, or in the fall when the snow comes, that's when things happen. But like with trapping, when Irv's been on here before, the temperature and the snow have nothing to do with what's called the hide becoming prime.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the rising and setting of the sun,
yeah.
The time frame.
Oh, yeah.
So
it is. That's what drives the hormones of the animals to seek mates is day length.
For breeding.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So that has way more bearing on it than mm-hmm. any temperature. So sometimes the breeding occurs early, even though it's still cold out.
Yeah.
But yet the time of year that the birthing occurs, it's already to the springtime and it's warm.
Right. I mean, birds migrating back from the tropics are insect eaters. They're not going to come back till May when there's bugs starting to hatch out, so they have something to feed their young.
Right.
But that's just one area of wildlife, you know.
Darn mayflies.
Yeah, all kinds of bugs come out, you know, in droves. We know that. And so it is, the timing is quite something, you know.
I just have to warn you, don't go walleye fishing at night when the mayflies hatch that day.
It's wild, huh?
They get behind my glasses
Oh, jeez.
It's fun because the fishing's good.
Yeah,
It's crazy when those duck buggers get behind my ears or behind my glasses, up by my eyes. It's like, you can't swat them away or you knock your glasses off.
Yeah. Do we have time to talk about maple sugar time?
Well, that's our next thing because the sugar on the snow is making the candy on March 1. But then on March 8, 9, and on March 15 and 16, that's our maple sugar time.
Yeah, it's kind of our open house at the Van Ralty Farm off just on 16th Street there out past Myers.
Uh-huh.
And we have a sugar bush with about 100 taps that we do, so it's not a great big operation. But it's enough to run our evaporator. We make 40, 50 gallons of syrup every year.
You have 100 taps?
100 taps there, yeah.
Wow.
It's a nice little sugar bush there all around the old house and the woods there. And we've got a beautiful 6-foot evaporator that people can see. We demonstrate how Native Americans made maple sugar in a hollow log when you walk into the sugar bush. And you can then see us running our evaporator, and you can help us gather sap if you're willing and take part in the operation.
So you don't set up off the trees and have a piping system?
No, we do buckets.
I've seen people with piping systems.
That's the way to do it. You know, if you're doing a lot of trees, you should do the tubing.
So you don't have all the people having man hours of lugging it back.
It's hard to carry, five-gallon buckets of sap, I'll tell you. We gather it 5 gallons.
A bucket of sap is going to be about 40
plus
pounds.
Yeah, exactly. And I carry usually one on each arm out of the sugar bush. So it's a workout.
That weighs as much as you do, Rob.
Tubes, I know. I wish. but tubing is a great labor saver. But at the end of your visit to the sugar bush, you can go into our barn. And this year we're doing maple sodas, like a soda pop made with maple. We're doing maple floats with the maple soda with vanilla ice cream. And we're doing maple sundaes, which is vanilla ice cream with maple syrup poured over the top of the ice cream. All good stuff. So you can take your choice in the barn, and of course we sell syrup and candy as well in the barn.
I know where I'm going to be on one of those two weekends.
So it's we call it our maple sugar cafe in there, but we set up a lot of tables in an old barn and have a good time putting together these snacks for people.
What time? It's March 8 and 9, so I'm assuming that's Saturday, Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 4 on Saturday and noon to 4 on Sunday.
11 to 4 Saturday, noon to 4 Sunday. That's 8 and 9, March 8 and 9, and March 15 and 16.
Yep.
This isn't far away because we're talking next weekend's the 15th when the Torchlit Walk occurs.
Yep.
And then that's only 3 weeks after that.
That's right. We're planning on a big thaw, hopefully, before then because we need to get people into the woods, and I may be running a snowblower through the trails in the woods this year. I hope not. I hope we have a bit of a thaw before then, but you never know.
And the trees are going to give the sap.
When it thaws, and then it freezes, and thaws and freezes, that kind of primes the pump. If it stays warm, it ends. If it stays cold, it ends. So it's a freeze and thaw is what gets the sap flowing every spring.
If our winter extends and everything stays frozen, is that going to drastically change that time frame?
Well, last year it stayed pretty cold in April, or in March, and our season went on into the first week of April. Normally we're all done by third week of March is pretty much we're winding down. We started in February one year, late February.
Right.
So it just depends on when that freeze-thaw cycle starts up. If it goes, I mean, we don't get any warm weather till April, and all of a sudden it's 80, then we lost our season. You know, we don't want that to happen.
Then maple syrup will be really expensive.
Yeah.
Because nobody will have it.
Well, it's just like any farm crop, you know, so you do have bad years.
And yeah, that happens.
Yep. I think it was 3 years ago where it went to 70s in March, and that was not a good year.
Was it 3 years ago?
Maybe 2 years. I mean, it was not a good. Luckily, we tapped in February.
Well, it was 2 Marches ago.
2 Marches ago. Yeah, we tapped in February, and we made pretty good volume of syrup, but it was all over by the second week of March.
Oh, man.
It got all too warm.
Well, we're going to recap maple sugar time and then move on to some of the other activities that are going on as soon as we get back. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Repair, storage, winterizing, parts, and more. Call Advantage Marine in Zeeland at 616-748-9235 or stop in and see Dave at 8755 Riley Street in Zeeland. That's at the corner of 88th and Riley on the northeast side of Zeeland. We are pre-recorded today, so hold your calls until next week. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by Holland's Original Gun and Knife Show. That's February 15th, 2014, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Holland Civic Center. Hope to see you there. And My Firearms ETS, educating people in the safe and responsible use of firearms since 2001. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, skill, and correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. Classes are offered regularly. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot. 616-218-7328. Well, we're back, and I'm talking with Rob Benner from the DeGraff Nature Center right here in the heart of Holland. And we just wrapped up a bit of a segment with maple sugar time and sugar on the snow. I might show up for the sugar on the snow.
That's fun.
I'd like to try that.
Yeah,
see what
yeah.
that, you know, because you could take a bottle of syrup and actually boil that down,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just got to take it to, syrup is roughly 219 degrees. Water boils at 212.
Okay.
Take it up to 219, you got syrup. If you take it up to 237, I believe it is, that's what you pull it off and pour over the snow.
Okay.
So it gets, you know, more concentrated. If you keep going, it'll turn into sugar, hard stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right. And then you put it on the snow, and then you take a stick, mm-hmm. and you roll it on there, so you get like a sucker.
Yeah. In the old days, you know, kids would just grab a stick in the woods and wrap it up on there, and they have a treat. So,
I think that'll be neat. And then March 8 and 9 and March 15 and 16 is maple sugar time, where you get to see how the sap is collected, how the sap is then boiled down to create the syrup, and then you're going to have some cool treats there.
Yeah, we're expanding. We used to just do sundaes, which are great.
Yep.
But I learned how to make more fun stuff. And maple soda is a new thing, and people really love it. It's in maple syrup flavored pop, basically, and we're going to make that to order in the barn there.
I don't even drink pop, and I think I'd like to have
some. Yeah, yeah. I want to
try the
really
maple
good.
Over the ice cream.
Oh, yeah, that's good. We're getting a donation from Hudsonville Ice Cream.
Okay.
To help us out, and it's Hudsonville vanilla with maple syrup over the top. Got to be good.
Definitely got to be good.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of takes us through the mid-March area, and then by March 29th, now we're hoping that's going to be some decent weather by then, but that's the waterfowl watch.
Yeah, last year I was all gung-ho. We headed out, and we go down to Hutchins Lake in Fenville, and we pull up, and it's solid ice still. And we looked with binoculars. We found one little sliver by the shore that was open. There was all the waterfowl all crowded into one little slice. We got some birds. And we get permission to go into sewage ponds, which are not allowed to go into as a private individual, but they allow groups to go in.
Okay.
Like, so our nature center will go into some sewage ponds, settling ponds, which sounds gross, but that's really a great place for waterfowl. And the waters are usually open, but last year it was pretty frozen, too. I'm hoping for a normal spring. Usually by late March, we got open waters, and we can go explore rivers and
we sometimes get a little storm or something at the end of the March, but we usually have open water.
Yeah, and the waterfowl, I don't mind ice, because that'll help bring the waterfowl in congregated more.
Wherever the open parts.
Yeah, to open areas. So anyway, we'll go out and find what we can. There's ducks, geese, grebes, loons, swans, all kinds of birds that will be moving in. You know, they're around now.
Waterfowl.
The waterfowl. Yep. So we'll find other things too. But it's a fun time, and there really are just. I mean, I love our native ducks are just incredible to look at up close through a spotting scope.
Yep.
The patterns on their bodies, the feather patterns, are just gorgeous birds.
They are definitely. Yeah, so they are definitely gorgeous birds. I just like to find different species.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm walking through the woods, I don't take the spotting scope with me or anything like that. Yep. I just like to come across them and see their nesting habitat and stuff
in the
woods. April 12th, Helping Hands Day at DeGraff.
Yeah, every year we have a activity where we invite the public, families, or civic groups. Anybody wants to help out, come and we're building our grounds. You know, we don't really have a maintenance staff at all.
Right.
We deal with our gardens and everything. So people help clean out everything, get things swept up, cleaned up in the spring, get everything ready for the wildflowers that are in our gardens to start to come up, give them a place. So it's kind of a clean-up morning, a couple hours, and we have a board of things for people to do, and we check them off. And then your reward is a free lunch with pancakes with maple syrup.
Really?
If you come out and help us. Yeah, you got to put a little time in.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
And that's the second Saturday of spring break for people who don't know.
Right, right.
And it's 10 o'clock to noon. You only got to work 2 hours, and you get to have pancakes?
Pancake lunch, yeah.
Oh,
and
goodness. We
provide, usually some sausage and orange juice, too. But
you got to have meat.
Yeah, got to have meat, huh?
A guy like me come on work, I got to have meat.
Well, anyway, I got to have maple syrup, so that's what I like.
Are you gonna make cocktail pancakes?
No. not that time of year. That'd be good. But yeah, no, not then.
That's,
just regular.
That's taking the cocktail fruits and then making them into your flour.
No, the pollen from the flour.
Pollen?
Yeah, cocktail pollen.
So we have to wait till the end?
You wait till the cocktails are in bloom.
Okay,
and then you mix that into the flour, it enhances the protein content of pancakes.
I had come across a recipe for using the roots of cocktail.
You can eat the roots, but they're more like an asparagus, kind of like something you'd steam and eat, as far as I know. Always good with butter on them.
Yeah, everything's good with butter on it.
But I've cut the roots up for kids to taste, and it's okay.
Okay.
But, it's a tender little crispy thing,
I have to warn people, don't try that where there's like a sewage ditch or
something. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because cocktails will grow where there's sewage ditches.
Yeah.
You got to find it where there's water, not a stagnant, swampy area either. You want some decent movement to the water.
Yeah, the marsh out of Van Walty Farm we use with our classes, and that's a nice little spring-fed marsh there. So.
Yeah, it keeps flowing. So because it gets stagnant, you're gonna taste it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not fun.
It's a good wild edible. I mean, you can eat lots of parts of the plant.
Yeah.
But
you can eat that, and then you can put maple syrup.
There you go.
Then you have all natural.
All natural.
All natural.
There you go.
And then we talked about, and you can get it at WHTC.com, the Shawnee National Forest trip.
Well, if you want to know anything about our trips, we got a lot of them this year. We're going north to go birding at Tequamanon Falls area, Whitefish Point in June. We're going on an Ausable River kayaking camping weekend in July. We're going up to Isle Royal National Park to stay at the lodge for a few days and do boat trips and hiking in August. And then we're going to do a cruise on Traverse Bay on a tall ship in early October.
No.
So we got cool stuff coming up.
Is that going to be over a weekend? What's that cruise
going to
be?
No, I think we're going to be out 3 days, 3 nights, Tuesday through Saturday. We travel up and be up there.
Rob, I can't do that during the week in October.
Well, it's got to go when you go. It's going to be a color cruise, and it's Traverse Bay going out to Manitou Islands or Beaver Island and then back in. And all the meals
so
are provided on board the boat, and you sleep on board, and it's a 114-foot tall ship. So it's a thrill to hold the wheel on that thing as you're on full sail, cruising along. I've done it a couple times. It's a trip you got to do. So we're doing that. Any of our trips sound good, go to our website at degraff.org, and there's two A's and one F in our name, not one A and two F. So D-E-G-R-A-A-F.
degraf.org. It almost makes a song out of it.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like it. But then go to, there's a click, you know, for tours. And then there, all of our trips have, like, little brochures you can open up, PDFs. Either print, read them online or print them off as the costs and where we're going to go and what the activities are. The itineraries are all online.
That tall ship trip.
Yeah. We already got signed up for that. That's almost, I mean, that's a long ways ahead, but people are already signing up for that.
We celebrated an anniversary for the family this past summer over at Mackinac, and one of the tall ships came in.
And
we were on the island. We were staying on the island. The tall ship came in. I was on my way out to take a walk. Of course, I like to go walk on the different bluffs and everything else. And by the time I came back, they had left. I was bummed because I didn't see him come in, so I don't know how long they were there.
Yeah.
But then my father-in-law, when I got back, he said, "You got to go down and see that tall ship." And I walked down there, and it was gone.
Yeah. This has been in Traverse Bay. It's called the Manitou. It's been there for many years now, and very well maintained. It's a beautiful ship, and they have a crew, you know, that does everything for you. You can help out with stuff, and of course, they provide food in their galley. All prepared for you, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, it's a great time.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, we're going to have you back when it comes to the rest of the April stuff, because April 26th, there's the Woodcock Walk. May 7th, the Michigan Turtles. May 17th, the Birdathon. May 24th through 31 is the Native Wildflower Sale. May 31, Civic Center fundraiser for the DeGraff Nature Center. That's the pancake breakfast with the maple syrup sales, or maple sales.
Yep.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. There's so much to talk about when it comes to the DeGraff Nature Center. I apologize because we're out of time.
Well, it's been great to be here. I'm glad we could talk about the place.
Well, I appreciate you coming in, and I hope our listeners really appreciate you coming in and throwing this stuff out there for them to listen to and learn about the different things that are going on and a lot of the information that we're giving them that people don't just commonly know.
It's great to get outdoors, that's for sure.
Excellent. We'll talk to you again next week right here on the Outdoor Show.